This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The Tokyo Dome in Tokyo, Japan, the venue for the opening of Major League Baseball 2000. This historical series marks the first time in Major League history that regular season games have been played outside of North America. Here come the Mets in Tokyo.
Hard to believe that was 25 years ago. Tom Brenneman and the Fox crew, the Cubs and Mets, the first opening day played outside of the United States way back in March 29th of 2000. And we're going to talk about it with our next guest on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com.
We bring in our good friend and accomplished Major League Baseball manager, player, broadcaster, our buddy Joe Girardi, nice enough to take some time out on a Saturday morning to join Ryan and myself. And Joe, welcome to the show. Hope you're doing great right now. And does that seem like 25 years ago?
No, me and my wife actually had the game on that opening day. The other night it was on Marquee, and we're like, golly, where did it 25 years ago? It's unbelievable how fast time goes, but it was a great experience, that's for sure.
I know, informing people right now that you caught the only Cubs win in Japan when a great game by your bullpen and John Lieber. Talk a little bit about the experience, first of all, of going over to Japan and just your first impressions of Tokyo and the people of Japan.
I was very impressed. Obviously, it's an electric atmosphere when you do an exhibition game against a team from Japan. Those were a lot of fun, and we're not used to hearing horns and noise the whole time. You hear a buzz, but it's much different over there. And at that point, that was the second time I had played over there. But the experience, the city being in Tokyo, the love that the people of Japan have for the game, and I can't imagine with all the Japanese stars that are over there now, you know, on the Dodgers and the Cubs, they must be at a fever pitch.
You were 4-for-9, by the way. Something was clicking in the Tokyo. You had three hits.
I didn't remember that, and I looked and I was like, man, I was 3-for-4 the first day. That didn't keep up, but that's all right.
One thing I wanted to ask you, because obviously it's different now with the Cubs kind of going in the middle of spring training, and then they'll have to come back, hit the reset button before getting at it here in the States, is you guys went over there. It was Wednesday, March 29th, Thursday, March 30th, and then you come back, you get the weekend, and you're right back on the ground again. You're at St. Louis for opening day here in the States, and you got swept right there in that first series. Was there a hangover effect? Because there was really no time to get your feet set again.
No, they're doing a much better job of allowing players to reset their time clock. We didn't have a lot of time. We got home sometime on that Friday, and I think it was like 8 o'clock in the morning, and then we practiced Saturday and Sunday and went to St. Louis and played a day game, of all things,
yeah.
Which I think made it even a little bit more difficult. But they've done a much better job. We did not charter a plane. We flew commercial as well.
Wow.
We had great seats. I'm not complaining about that. But obviously, everything's a lot easier when you charter. You don't have to go through as much. But again, the experience was well worth it. And obviously, you know, the Cubs are going to play a very tough foe in the Dodgers. But a lot of times you want to get those really good teams early in the season because maybe they're not quite up to par yet in rolling.
Joe, just you know, I was having a discussion with my friend Joel Berg, who I've been writing stories with for the last 30 years, yesterday, talking about all the events that we've been able to cover. And do we ever think about, you know, being there for history in person, or we're still caught up in our work? And I want to ask you the same question, because there's been so many moments in history where Joe Girardi has been there and involved to a significant level. Do you ever allow yourself to go back there? Because I know you're a man of right now and moving forward, but you know, just the idea of, you know, coming up as a Cub, 89 playoffs, the boys of Zimmer, moving to Colorado in the expansion draft, the first games ever played in Colorado, being with Don Baylor, again, the manager of that team, in this series in Japan in 2000, you being a part of a World Series championship and getting a tremendous, important hit off of Greg Maddux, a guy that you used to catch before as part of winning a World Series. How often do you go back?
Not a lot. Just because, like, that's the first time I think I've sat down and watched part of the game in Japan. Because I'm always thinking about what do I need to do next.
Right.
And that's just kind of my personality. And I know I've been extremely blessed in this game of baseball, all the things that I've got to experience. You know, when you talk about going over to Japan, an expansion team where we drew over 4 million the first 3 years, which was just unbelievable fan support. Being able to play, you know, my childhood dream for the Chicago Cubs, playing along so many Hall of Famers, Greg Maddux, Rhino, Andre Dawson, being able to manage Hall of Famers. I just managed Ichiro and CC Sabathia. I mean, I've been extremely blessed, but I don't really go back. And, you know, people ask me a lot of times, do you ever wear your rings? I don't. I never wear my rings. I just think about what's next. But because there's always something great that's going to happen when you're a part of this game. And you may be a spectator, you may be an announcer, you may be a coach, you may be a player, but I look forward to those great moments that are coming this year.
That's Joe Girardi. He's joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine. You talked about managing and playing with Hall of Famers. So now spinning it forward all these years later, I mean, I've watched the home run that Shohei hit last night on loop on social media, because the atmosphere is so electric, and for obvious reasons of what he means to the Japan fans and the Japanese culture. When you watch him, are you as enamored and amazed and as everybody else? Because he's just one of those guys that if he's up, you got to stop.
Yes, I am. And you think about his talent, you know, it's one thing to be a home run hitter, but he also hits for average. He also steals bases. He's a fantastic base runner. You know, it's one thing to be a pitcher, but he's an ace of a staff. Yeah. And I don't know in our lifetime if we'll ever see this again, mm-hmm. right? A guy that can do both at such a high level. A lot of times, guys can do one at a high level. And, you know, I think a guy like Derek Lilliquist, he was a pretty good hitter. I mean, he really was, and he was a decent pitcher. But we've never seen this before. At least I haven't. I wasn't around for Babe Ruth, so I haven't.
Bruce was.
Well, that's what I was kind of hinting at. But I don't think we'll ever see it again. I don't.
Joe, Ohtani or Judge? You saw Judge as a young player, as a manager coming up in that organization. You know, the great debate, the two best players in the game of baseball right now, or arguably, you're starting a team. Which one do you take? Because, you know, Judge is kind of taking a back seat here. But the reality is that as a leader, as a player, as a dominant player, he shouldn't have to.
No, it's just you're running into a unicorn, and that's what you're doing. But I think about Aaron Judge. He's a very good defender. He's a very good base runner. He's a five-tool player as well. He doesn't just hit for power. He hits for average. Yeah, he strikes out a little bit, but that comes with, I think, being so big, 6'7", 280 pounds. But what he's able to do defensively, and he's going to be able to go back to right field where I think, you know, he's a better right fielder than center fielder. It's truly amazing. But, I, you know, when I think about the two players, when do you get an ace pitcher, and really you could hit him anywhere in the lineup, a two-hitter, a three-hitter, a four-hitter, you know, I know he leads off, in the same package. I mean, he's two $35 million players, two of them.
Right, you're right.
In one body.
Mm. How greedy would you be if you were the owner of the Dodgers, the president of the Dodgers, the manager of the Dodgers, you had close association with Ohtani? Would the conversation ever get to the point, look, you are already the best player on the planet. We need you to be the best possible hitter and player for us every day for the next 6 or 7 years. Please do not pitch again.
He's too good of a pitcher right now to do that for me. I mean, will it get to that? Maybe one day. Maybe if he has another arm injury. But I just think about him, Bruce, like, if you don't want him to eat up all those innings, you could make him a closer. He'd be dominant. I mean, extremely dominant. So there's so many different things that you could do that I wouldn't even entertain that conversation right now.
Mm. No, I understand, but, you know, the injury factor is real, Joe. It's already down the line as far as injuries go. How many Tommy Johns you want to have? You know, again, keeping the guy as the best player in the game right now, you know, that has to come into your mind. I understand that it's limiting and that you have, as you call it, a unicorn in the game, but you know, you have a $700 million investment. I mean, you have to...
But he's an ace.
I know, but, you know, baseball...
Well, you're paying for both.
Yeah.
You're paying for...
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. The Tommy Johns don't affect his hitting.
Great
they
point.
Don't.
Yeah.
I mean, he had the torn ligament at the end of the 1 year and continued to hit. So I don't worry so much about that. Now, if he starts damaging his shoulders a lot,
right.
And a lot of times that comes from sliding... Then I would worry a little
right.
bit. I would worry more right. about him trying to do. But that's for him. It's going to be more in base running.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Can bother hitters. Torn labrums can bother hitters, especially if it's your lead arm.
Yeah, and it happened last year when he had the shoulder.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think we're going to see him running less this year, just because of the points that you just made there. You know, it's not worth it. You know, as much as you don't want to limit the first and only guy that maybe will ever steal 50 and hit 50 home runs. Put the numbers aside and say, how important are you to be out there and take 600 at bats?
Yeah, that's, you know, even if they get 550 at bats out of him, you know, and he makes, I don't know, 25 starts this year, I'm signing up for that all day.
Yeah, same here.
When you look they have depth in their pitching where he doesn't have to start every fifth day.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they have crazy depth. When you look at this Cubs team, and there's been so much made about the offseason and getting to a 90-win plateau and making sure they're a division champion every year, it's been a big part of the narrative and discussion. I think by default they're the best team in the division, even though the Brewers would like to say, hold my beer on that. What do you like about the 2025 Cubs, even though they're going to be reliant on a Matt Shaw development, that Michael Bush has taken the next step, that Pete Crow Armstrong has taken another step on some of their young guys improving?
Well, I think that's what I like. I see improvements in their young guys, whether it's in the rotation, it's in the bullpen, whether it's on the field. I'm seeing improvements. And now Matt Shaw is a guy that will be challenged. And the difficult thing about being a rookie in to me, a lot of times, is in these cold weather places, it's hard for a lot of people to hit in cold weather places. And that first month in Wrigley is not always the most kind conditions to hit in. But you have to be mentally tough, and you have to say, you know, you're my third baseman, and we're going to play, and don't worry about getting off to a bad start. It's not like he's hitting in the middle of the lineup where there's a lot of pressure on him. You can take that pressure off. And the other good thing is he's got good young kids around him that have been through this recently that can probably help him navigate his way through this. But I like what they've done. I like a full year of Tucker. I think he's going to be good. And I just think PCA is going to take off. And if he takes off, that lineup becomes very dangerous to me.
Joe, the last question for me is about outworking people. I've seen you since you were, 19, 20 years old, outwork people to become a good and if not outstanding major league catcher. I've seen you outwork people to become an outstanding coach. I've seen you outwork people to become an outstanding manager. I've seen you outwork and work alongside of you to become an outstanding broadcaster. How much of that is the work ethic that you put into it? And again, I had the pleasure of the last few years of watching you prepare for your broadcast on Marquee and being in there 5 or 6 hours early sometimes with no one else sitting in the place, but me walking in and you sitting there. How much of it is work? How much of it is just having the capacity to get these things done?
Well, I think I learned it at home from my mother and father, and I'm very grateful for the work ethic that they showed me on a daily basis. And I think all of us are driven by something, and I think the fear of failure always drove me. I knew I wasn't the most talented catcher. I didn't have the best arm. I didn't have power. There were a lot of things that I didn't. So I had to really prepare to get the most out of my ability. And I always had the motto, Bruce, that no one will ever take my job because they outworked me. They might be smarter. They might be, you know, stronger. There's a lot of other things that they could be that I would lose my job to. But I was going to do everything I could to keep it. And it's just what drives me in life. And, you know, I love the game of baseball. I love diving into numbers. I always have. You know, I have a math background. And it's always been fascinating to me, and I believe that numbers tell the story over time, not necessarily that day or in that particular instance. But it's just what I love to do. You know, my family was making fun of me because I'm doing opening day, the Yankees and the Brewers, and I started looking at the Brewers, even though I saw them a number of times last year, about March 1st. When I found out that I was doing opening day. So I'm taking all these notes, and they're like, what are you doing, right? But it's part of my personality. It's what I saw at home. And it worked well for my parents, and it's worked well for me.
Yeah, that's how good becomes great, Joe. It's just the truth. Last one I have for you, I just want to ask you, do you think the health of the game is in a good spot? We know about the pending labor issues in 27 and what that could mean, but we know about the massive contracts that are out there with Shohei and Soto, but there's definitely issues in some of the smaller market cities as well. But do you like where Major League Baseball is today?
Yeah, I do. I think our game is exciting, and I think, you know, we saw that in the numbers of people that showed up to the ballpark last year, some of the adjustments they've made to keep the game moving and not to be as long. And, you know, there's massive contracts in other sports. We see it too, guys making 50, 60 million, and you're like, wow, that's, you know, it's a lot. And, you know, sometimes I feel for some of the people that get cut out because of that. Mm-hmm. But I think our game is pretty healthy. You'd like to see some of the other teams compete a little bit more. And I know that salary does have a correlation usually with winning, but not always. I mean, there's those clubs like Cleveland that do it really well. And there's other clubs. Tampa has done it really well by not. So you have to be smarter. And you have to maybe work a little bit harder if you have those type of clubs. But I mean, I think the World Series was pretty exciting last year. I do. And I think the playoffs were exciting. And I think the fact that more teams are staying in it longer is exciting. So I think, and the players are fantastic. I mean, they're big, strong, fast athletes like we've never seen before. So I think it's in a pretty good place. Would I like to see some more teams be a little bit more competitive? Yes.
Joe, you've come a long way since I took a bus ride with you on the Cubs caravan in 1992, and we're riding from Chicago to Peoria, your hometown. And at that point, that was one of your proudest moments, coming back a Chicago Cub and a starting player at that point in time. It's been a long journey, and I hope we have a lot more years left. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Me too, Bruce. And you guys, thanks, and have a wonderful day, and look forward to March 19th, opening day. It's early.
I know. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah, it's early.
The great Joe Girardi joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. I can listen to him talk baseball, Bruce, all day long. I don't care if we're talking Cubs, if we're talking big picture, we're talking Shohei Ohtani. Just really good stuff, good insight.
Yeah, I mean, just all the times I've got to talk baseball with him, including last year, you know, sitting around Marquee before games, just fantastic. And on top of all that, him and Kim, just great people, you know, great family and their kids. So blessed to have him as a friend.
Yeah, I want to read this one from the 773. So many great memories of Joe, both with the Cubs and Yankees, but my strongest recollections are Joe at Northwestern and Joe announcing the canceled game after Darryl Kyle died. Pure class. I remember that. I was there. I'm sure you were there that day, too, and that was real.
I won a I rarely talk about what I did, but I won an award from the AIR, you know, the AIR Awards that mm-hmm. they used to give out mm-hmm. for the best reporting that year in news, not in sports, for that particular moment where Joe came out and announced to the crowd, and he was a Cardinal player at that time,
yeah.
that due to this situation, the game had been canceled. And
but the emotion and the human like
I used a soundbite from Joe in the report I filed to the AIR people, you know, for the you know the award nomination, and that won it, and it was the strength of Joe's comments, my wrap around it, that you know won the award, but it was basically the moment itself.
Yeah, and that's it's the human element part of sports that sometimes we forget about because we put these guys up on a pedestal and. They're just people, and when it's life and death, the emotion, it was real. Special thanks to Manny's Deli for catering this Tuesday's Mullion Hall watch party during the Cubs season opener in Tokyo. Go to mannysdeli.com or visit them on the corner of Roosevelt and Jefferson. Manny's Deli has been Chicago's authentic deli since 1942, 83 years of delicious. I think I just signed up myself to go to the Mullion Hall watch party.
I'm going there after we...
Yeah,
we're done.
You're going to Manny's?
Oh yeah, I mean Danny and the family are you know relatives through marriage, and
I love it.
You know,
there's never a bad time to go
to
Manny's Deli. Cade Horton, a lot of expectations from Cub fans and the Cubs. How much is he going to be able to contribute to the 2025 Cubs? Well, we're going to ask him because he joins us at the bottom of the hour. He's Bruce Levine. I'm Ryan McGuffey. This is Inside the Clubhouse on 670.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Score.
Ball was mid-90s, and there's a pop-up. Shallow center, top play, into a slide. 2-2 offering. Swing and a miss, strike three. That was nasty, and that's why he's the number 2 ranked prospect in the organization.
It is. You talked about that curveball.
Fly drive right at the second baseman, Lopez. One hopper, throw to first. That's the ball game. Cade Horton, first Cactus League appearance, first Cactus League save.
Cade Horton getting the save in a game earlier this spring. That's compliments of the Marquee Network. And Bruce, it's time to go back to the Circa Sports Hotline and download the Circa app
today. Yeah, for mention, Cade Horton, nice enough to take some time out Saturday morning to join us on Inside the Clubhouse. Cade, first and foremost, do you wish you were in Japan right now?
Yes, I do. I do. It looks like those guys are having a blast over there. But, it looks like a fun time.
I know, that you're getting done in Mesa and Arizona this year is so important. But, you know, the health of you and just being back to being Cade Horton. Talk a little bit about just that being there. I think we all know what you can do. Now it's a question of, you know, do you get the repetitions and you get your chance to get to the major league level this year?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the biggest thing is just being healthy again and like you say, getting those game repetitions. I think one of the hardest things about coming back from an injury is getting those game repetitions and getting back into game-like situations because it's just so hard to replicate that. And so I feel like last Saturday or Sunday, whenever it was, when I got the save, I felt like that was a good stepping stone in my recovery and getting back to, you know, where I want to be.
Yeah, we had you on the show about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and it was, you know, spring training was just about to begin, or you guys had just started, and you know, talking about it and doing it are two different things. And you mentioned about that save against the Mariners on Saturday. Where are you at right now mentally, now that you've been back on the mound? You get that opportunity the other day, as you mentioned, get that save, where you feel like you're in a good spot to, you know, be every fifth day, every day that the Cubs need you. If it's in the bullpen, it's in the rotation, wherever it might be. Where are you now that we are nearing the end of spring training?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm in a really good spot right now. We have a couple weeks left. I will take the, you know, next phase of the buildup tonight with the spring breakout game and do my first up and down. And then, you know, after that, just continue building my pitch count and looking forward to the season.
Cade, talking to Craig Counsell last week, after he finished his media session, I pulled him aside and I said, what about Cade? And he said, Cade Horton is going to help us in the major leagues this year, okay? And then I try to further the conversation. He said, just leave it at that. He's got to just go and pitch, and we know what he can do. When you hear the manager say that, and maybe some of your conversations with him and Tommy Hotovy, the pitching coach, what type of confidence do you get from all that? How do you feel about where you're going this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a huge part is just, you know, earning everybody's trust and respect in the locker room and on the coaching staff. And I think, you know, to hear him say that, it gives me confidence and it, you know, ultimately when that happens, I'll be able to go out there and be myself and not have to worry about, you know, I have to impress and do all this. I can just go out there, pitch, and be myself. And so, yeah, I think him saying that does give me a lot of confidence, and so I'm looking forward to that opportunity.
When you've been in this clubhouse this spring and seeing some of the veterans that have been brought in for this particular team, and then obviously the guys in the talented arms like such as yourself, and then the vets who are part of the rotation, and there's so much being said about the expectation, about being a playoff team, about being a 90-win team, about winning the division. What have you learned and been able to take in from the vets around you, some of the guys who are fighting for spots just like you, and just being a part of that type of culture that's saying, hey, the expectation is here to win. We're going to say it. We're going to embrace it. And now we got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, I think it's really good for the clubhouse. You know, it gives guys of a sense of direction and like, hey, we have to go to work today because, you know, we're working toward this goal. And just seeing how the vets, you know, handle themselves and go about their business each and every day, it's really cool to watch. And I think, you know, we have a really good core young guys, and I think, you know, they're learning from the vets, and I think it's a really good combination for us to, you know, have a lot of wins this season and look to be playing in October.
Cade Horton, our guest on Inside the Clubhouse for a few more minutes. And Cade, the mental approach, the mental skills department that Major League Baseball and clubs offer young players, how much do you use? How much have you used? How important do you think that is moving forward for a young guy that, you know, has been touted, has been pushed, you know, by media and by experts on minor leagues and have high expectations? How do you calm that rhetoric down? How do you just be the best person you can be mentally each day? And does that help you? The assistance you can get if you want it from the Cubs in Major League Baseball in that area.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's huge. I think, you know, baseball is such a game of failure and, you know, you're going to have good days and bad days, but it's all about, you know, just staying neutral and you can't ride the wave. And so just staying, you know, staying focused on what the task is. And I think that comes with preparation. You know, what you do day in and day out is going to give you confidence to know you're ready to compete. And so I think, yeah, just staying in the moment and staying present, just taking it one pitch at a time and not overcomplicating things, right? There's a lot of noise, a lot of people talking, but at the end of the day, just go out there and get outs, and that's what it's about.
Do you feel pressure or put pressure on yourself when you know, like you're talking about the noise? I mean, we're asking you about the noise here in this interview. Do you feel, or did you feel that prior to the injury last year that, hey, they're counting on me, or I'm you know, a top prospect, whatever you want to call it. You know where you guys are in terms of rankings and stuff like that. I mean, it's talked about so much. There's so much being made of minor league baseball. I mean, a lot of the games are televised now. Have you felt pressure to be kind of that next thing or that missing piece for the Cubs? And if you have, how have you been able to block it out? And to Bruce's point about the mental skills, I mean, that comes into play here when you have a spotlight on you.
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I try not to to read any of that, or I kind of just try to stay out of it. You know, I feel like I don't feel pressure to be the next guy. I want to be the next guy. I think that, you know, and that just comes with the responsibility of, yeah, you're going to have, you know, a bunch of people talking about you and all sorts of that thing. As far as, you know, rankings and stuff, I try not to pay attention to it, because at the end of the day, just because I'm, you know, the number one pitching prospect in the Cubs organization, nothing's going to be handed to me. I still got to go out there and earn it. And so I think that's the big thing for me, is just, you know, putting my head down and going to work every day.
If you're ever having a bad day and worrying about it, go back and look at Dylan Cease in the Cubs organization and look at his trek to be able to get to the major leagues eventually with the White Sox after being traded. But there's so many really great stories like Dylan Cease that I think can give you some positivity. When you're when you've had your big league experience, and it's only been one game so far, pitching for the big club, and you got that save, what pitchers have had or players have had the most positive influence on you so far this camp?
Yeah, I would say J-Mo. J-Mo's had a really big impact. I'd say Ryan Brazier. You know, those are two guys that, you know, I talk to daily and just pick their brains and learn from their experiences. You know, I think, but also at the same time, I feel like the whole clubhouse has been good about just talking and learning from each other. It's a really, you know, there's a lot of veterans, and so there's so much knowledge in that locker room. And so just picking everybody's brain and getting to know everybody, I think it was huge for me this camp.
When you watch Imanaga pitch opening day in Japan this Tuesday, first of all, your impressions of watching him as a pitcher, and, you know, frankly, to me, there is a magic show going on every time he goes out there, because he doesn't throw 98. He doesn't walk very many people. He gets people out. And frankly, to me, it's the art of pitching and just getting people out. I can't, even after watching him all this time, I can't tell you how he does it.
Yeah, I think that was a perfect word you said. Like, it really truly is the art of pitching. Like, just watching him work is so cool, and just his delivery is so smooth, and he knows his game plan, what he wants to do. It is really cool watching him and pitch, and I know he's gonna do really good over there and on opening day.
Hey, Kate, I want you to hear this soundbite the other day. Bruce caught up with Jed Hoyer and was asking directly about you. Here he is.
You talk about Horton and what you project him to be able to do. Craig the other day mentioned he's going to help us sometime this year at the major league level. What's your plan for him?
He just needs to pitch. I mean, he missed a lot of time last year. He needs to just go pitch and pitch healthy. I think that the stuff is there right now. That's clear. I think that the command is not where it was in 23, and I think that's this knocking off some of that rust and getting back to, you know, just filling the strike zone the way he has in the past and locating. So I think he would say the same thing. I don't think he feels like he's back to where he was at the end of 23, but I think he's on the right path.
Look, I know you've spoken to Jed Hoyer, obviously, but to hear him say, look, let this guy just go pitch and let him eat, does that give you a little extra confidence that, hey, the organization's behind me, the president of baseball operations, he's behind me, and I just want to go out there and do what I'm supposed to do?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think for me, and he's spot on, I think it's, I'm in the right direction, and my stuff has came back. Now it's all about commanding and just getting those game reps. But yes, that does give me a lot of confidence, just knowing everybody has my back. You know, missing injury and in this position, it can be tough. You know, I can feel like I got to put out results, and it doesn't have to be that way. I need to take it one step at a time, and I feel like I've been doing a good job of that. Stuff's came back. Now it's time to get command and just get game reps. And so, yeah.
Cade, we're always fortunate and pleased to be joined by you. You're so cerebral. We're definitely rooting for a healthy season for you here in 2025. Bruce and I appreciate you joining us on Inside the Clubhouse. By the way, it's going to be about 3 a.m. for first pitch out there in Arizona. Are you really going to wake up and watch what's going on in Japan?
I don't know. I might have to catch it the day after.
best of luck tonight. Thanks.
Being honest, I got to take my recovery serious. So.
Yeah.
Best of luck tonight. We'll be watching. Thanks again.
I appreciate you guys. Take care
of yourself. Okay.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Cubs pitcher Cade Horton joining us here on Inside the Clubhouse. Really good stuff. That's what I was thinking. When you were talking about watching, I was like, it's about 3 in the morning for Cade Horton out there. So Bruce and I coming back with our final inning here on Inside the Clubhouse. Bruce Levine, Ryan McGuffey, Inside the Clubhouse, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
Ryan McGuffey, Bruce Levine. This is our final show, Bruce, before we have real baseball. We did it.
Oh, that's right.
We got
Tuesday's
here.
Tuesday's real baseball.
We got here.
Yeah.
And then next weekend's show is kind of like, oh, wait, we're not playing real baseball. But it is, because it's a preview of what's to come. I mean, real opening day will be the...
I'll just question you. If the Bears make another big trade next Friday...
or there's a college football game at Wrigley...
No, Mitch always has good reasons, and Ryan when to preempt the show. But, you know, the reality that it is baseball season is exciting for me every year, and no different this year, especially with the Cubs starting early and then the White Sox opening up at home here March 27th against the Southside Angels with, Mankata at one position, Anderson at another.
I mean, yeah, we're assuming Tim Anderson's making the team, right?
The Angels have a chance to lose well over 100 games.
Yeah, and we were talking about payroll earlier. They're ahead of the Cubs in payroll because Anthony Rendon, et cetera, they have some bad
Mike Trout
money.
Is healthy. I watched him play a game. He's still healthy.
I actually, for the sake of baseball, hope that he remains healthy, obviously.
Well, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably by 90% of the voters, even at this time. It's hard to believe. I believe he's turning 34 this year. Is that right? I think that is
hard to believe.
I mean, the guy has
he
had...
He is turning 34 this year.
But he has had a phenomenal career, but not the last 4 years. You know, it's just...
Well, it'll be fun to watch him on opening day here in Chicago.
Yeah.
It's just going to be it's a weird situation.
He's a right fielder now.
And Mike Clevinger, is he going to be your closer?
I think so. And again, there's a lot of pushback on Clevinger, but ever since he came to the White Sox, he's been nothing but a good teammate. He's been there 3 times, I think.
Yeah.
Is it three separate times?
Three straight years of being parts of Mike Clevinger. The first go around was
signing
good.
The third time with the White Sox. So he's challenging Sandy Alomar Jr. for
There's 29 other teams not calling too. I think that's the other part of it.
Well, I don't know why the guy can pitch. I understand the pushback for what he went through. He Major League Baseball protocol. He cleared that a long time ago. And he's always pitched well for the White Sox. I expect him to do a good job in the pen. When I talked to him, 10 days ago, he said he's really excited about going back to the bullpen and closing. He said that's how he started his major league career in the bullpen with the then Indians, now Guardians. So, what can we expect from the White Sox during the year? Probably a lot of changes.
Yeah, a lot of changes, a lot of losses, but guys... on the come as well as the Kyle Teals and the Colson Montgomerys, et cetera, get there. I don't know how many save opportunities Mike Clevinger will have, but it certainly will be interesting to watch. What's the alarm clock set for on Tuesday?
Well, I'm set for the usual time, about 9 a.m. I'm going to watch that replay. No, I do a pregame hit on every Chicago Cub game on the radio on The Score, and
yep.
I'll be ready to contribute my piece of the Cub Insider and be excited about the guys at Wrigley Field, and hopefully I'll be with some of the 100 people invited to Mully and Haw you know, doing a live broadcast from there. So I'm excited about
it. Well, I mean,
that.
If you're there and Manny's Deli is there, that's really all I actually need to know.
Yeah, what more do you need?
Yeah,
you
know? And we have Cubs baseball. I mean, what are we watching for Tuesday and Wednesday? I mean, we're going to see a little bit of difference because of
length.
Yeah, length.
So 65 to 70 pitches for the starting pitchers. The bullpen getting ramped up yesterday in the exhibition game. Mm-hmm. The bullpen pitching again a lot, probably in game two of this series. Council having to couch our questions all spring training long about opening day and the reality that it's still 10 days out from the 160 other games they're going to play. Just trying to win, but not asking people to do more than they can on March 18th and 19th.
And that's the caution I'm going to throw out there. Don't get too wrapped up in the results of Tuesday, Wednesday. It's more of a parade. No. It's more of a parade for Major League Baseball internationally. If the Cubs win both games, great. But don't read too much into it. Like, oh my God, here they go. They just took the two of, you know, swept the Dodgers. And vice versa. If they go 0-2, I would not read too much into it. There's 160 left to play here.
But you know, at the beginning of every year, it's the fans react like it's the NFL. It's the Bears.
It's hard,
right?
Not to. It's hard not to, because of that initial excitement. Everyone's watching, and if the Cubs go out and get beat 5-1, oh my God.
You know, but right. But again, that we love the fact that the fans are that passionate, yep, and they care that much about their teams. That's why you and I are lucky enough to have jobs like this.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I love being with you, Bruce. I will not probably be waking up for your pregame hit. No offense. But I'm looking forward to watching.
I'll do it for you privately.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow. I don't know if we can say that on the air. Bruce Levine and Ryan McGuffey wrapping up another edition of Inside the Clubhouse. We have to thank a ton of people. Tyler behind the glass, obviously making us sound good. Paul Janisch from the White Sox was on the show. Joe Girardi and Cade Horton, Bruce.
Great show, and thanks to you for as well for doing the usual great job. People can follow me on X at MLB Bruce Levine. On our website, writing Cubs Sox, 670thescore.com.
Let's go. I'm at Ryan McGuffey. You can catch me on the recap. Steve Rosenblum is next. 670 The Score.
Host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.